The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, translated by Algar Thorold, digitized by CCEL, read by Maureen O'Brien. The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 2. How very pleasing to God is the willing desire to suffer for Him. Very pleasing to me, dearest daughter, is the willing desire to bear every pain and fatigue, even unto death, for the salvation of souls. For the more the soul endures, the more she shows that she loves me. Loving me, she comes to know more of my truth, and the more she knows, the more pain and intolerable grief she feels at the offenses committed against me. You asked me to sustain you, and to punish the faults of others in you, and you did not remark that you were really asking for love, light, and knowledge of the truth, since I have already told you that, by the increase of love, grows grief and pain, wherefore he that grows in love grows in grief. Therefore I say to you all that you should ask, and it will be given you, for I deny nothing to him who asks of me in truth. Consider that the love of divine charity is so closely joined in the soul with perfect patience that neither can leave the soul without the other. For this reason, if the soul elect to love me, she should elect to endure pains for me in whatever mode or circumstance I may send them to her. Patience cannot be proved in any other way than by suffering, and patience is united with love, as has been said. Therefore, bear yourselves with manly courage, for unless you do so, you will not prove yourselves to be spouses of my truth, and faithful children, nor of the company of those who relish the taste of my honor and the salvation of souls. How every virtue and every defect is obtained by means of our neighbor. I wish also that you should know that every virtue is obtained by means of your neighbor, and likewise every defect. He, therefore, who stands in hatred of me, does an injury to his neighbor and to himself, who is his own chief neighbor. And this injury is both general and particular. It is general, because you are obliged to love your neighbor as yourself, and loving him, you ought to help him spiritually, with prayer, counseling him with words, and assisting him both spiritually and temporally, according to the need in which he may be, at least with your good will if you have nothing else. A man, therefore, who does not love, does not help him, and thereby does himself an injury. For he cuts off from himself grace, and injures his neighbor, by depriving him of the benefit of the prayers and of the sweet desires that he is bound to offer for him to me. Thus, every act of help that he performs should proceed from the charity which he has through love of me. And every evil also is done by means of his neighbor. For if he do not love me, he cannot be in charity with his neighbor, and thus all evils derive from the soul's deprivation of love of me and her neighbor. Whence, inasmuch as such a man does no good, it follows that he must do evil. To whom does he evil? First of all to himself, and then to his neighbor. Not against me, for no evil can touch me, except in so far as I count done to me that which he does to himself. To himself he does the injury of sin, which deprives him of grace, and worse than this he cannot do to his neighbor. Him he injures in not paying him his debt, which he owes him, of love, with which he ought to help him by means of prayer and holy desire offered to me for him. This is an assistance which is owed in general to every rational creature, but its usefulness is more particular when it is done to those who are close at hand, under your eyes, as to whom, I say, you are all obliged to help one another by word and doctrine, and the example of good works, and in every other respect in which your neighbor may be seen to be in need, counseling him exactly as you would yourselves, without any passion of self-love. And he, a man not loving God, does not do this, because he has no love toward his neighbor. And by not doing it, he does him, as you see, a special injury. And he does him evil, not only by not doing him the good that he might do him, but by doing him a positive injury and a constant evil. In this way, sin causes a physical and a mental injury. The mental injury is already done when the sinner has conceived pleasure in the idea of sin and hatred of virtue, that is, pleasure from sensual self-love, which has deprived him of the affection of love which he ought to have toward me and his neighbor, as has been said. And after he is conceived, he brings forth one sin after another against his neighbor, according to the diverse ways which may please his perverse sensual will. Sometimes it is seen that he brings forth cruelty, and that both in general and in particular. His general cruelty is to see himself and other creatures in danger of death and damnation through privation of grace, and so cruel is he that he reminds neither himself nor others of the love of virtue and hatred of vice. Being thus cruel, he may wish to extend his cruelty still further, that is, not content with not giving an example of virtue. The villain also usurps the office of the demons, tempting, according to his power, his fellow creatures to abandon virtue for vice. This is cruelty towards his neighbors, for he makes himself an instrument to destroy life and to give death. Cruelty toward the body has its origin in cupidity, which not only prevents a man from helping his neighbor, but causes him to seize the goods of others, robbing the poor creatures. Sometimes this is done by the arbitrary use of power, and at other times by cheating and fraud, his neighbor being forced to redeem, to his own loss, his own goods, and often, indeed, his own person. Oh, miserable vice of cruelty, which will deprive the man who practices it of all mercy, unless he turn to kindness and benevolence toward his neighbor. Sometimes the sinner brings forth insults, on which often follows murder. Sometimes also impurity against the person of his neighbor, by which he becomes a brute beast full of stench, and in this case he does not poison one only, but whoever approaches him, with love or in conversation, is poisoned. Against whom does pride bring forth evils? Against the neighbor, through love of one's own reputation, whence comes hatred of the neighbor, reputing oneself to be greater than he, and in this way is injury done to him. And if a man be in a position of authority, he produces also injustice and cruelty, and becomes a retailer of the flesh of men. Oh, dearest daughter, grieve for the offense against me, and weep over these corpses, so that by prayer the bands of their death may be loosened. See now that in all places and in all kinds of people, sin is always produced against the neighbor and through his medium. In no other way could sin ever be committed, either secret or open. A secret sin is when you deprive your neighbor of that which you ought to give him. An open sin is where you perform positive acts of sin, as I have related to you. It is, therefore, indeed the truth that every sin done against me is done through the medium of the neighbor.